Reds and Romance.
I'm Brianne.
And I'm Abby.
And this is Reds and Romance. Woo! Yeah. We did it!
All right. Ooh. Disclosure, we're about halfway through this bottle of wine.
Yeah, this bottle of wine that you really don't know yet. Aren't you so excited to figure out what it is?
I'm very excited.
Well, welcome everyone. This is episode 3 of Reds and Romance. And we read The Scandalous Flirt by Olive Drake.
Yeah.
Olivia, not Olive. A little drunk.
I just want to get into the book. I'm like, oh, who's the author? Who cares? Like,
yeah. let's just start.
Talking. Sorry.
Well, let's start with the wine.
Oh, yeah.
That I've been drinking.
I don't even know what I'm drinking right now. It's red.
We were waiting for our calzone to be delivered. And so we started opening the wine. So here we are. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So the book is Scandalous Flirt.
Yes.
So I got us a zin that's called Sin Zin.
Oh my gosh. It's perfect. Look at this artwork. So on the front, it's a man who's just like, he's got one of those drinking horns. He's like, or I don't know. I think it's a drinking horn, I'm assuming. Oh my gosh. It's like, it's all pencil drawn.
Yeah. And so this is from Alexander Valley. It's a 2012 Zinfandel, and it's from Sonoma County, and it's 14.7% alcohol by volume. So,
cool.
Yay! This one goes out to Alexander Valley with the Sin Zin.
Yeah, actually, I want to keep that bottle of wine because that label's really cool.
Okay. It's yours.
All right, cool.
So, awesome. I have to apologize. This is Brianne. I came down with the flu, and so we postponed this recording until I could, like, speak words. So, if I cough through this whole thing, I'm sorry, but not.
Everyone forgives you.
Thank you. So, this is Scandalous Flirt.
Yeah.
Our original assumptions on this book, based on the cover, which we discussed last time.
Yep.
We thought that she would be rich.
Yeah, she is. She's, oh yeah, that's right. So she's like higher on the class scale, and the guy who's behind her on this daybed with his button-up shirt almost off was some sort of stable boy.
Something.
Some servant, man, like who knows. But that was not the case at all. And yeah, let's get into it. So this book, compared to our last ones, it's not as... How would you describe it? It's
sexual.
Intimate.
Yes.
Sensual.
It's very much a story.
Yeah. Not so much like the last ones. The last ones are all about just like getting to the risque, getting to the sex.
The nitty gritty.
Which, hey, like that's some people want that.
Yeah. And this one was, I mean, it takes place in London in the 18th century or 19th century, 1800.
Right.
I always fucking mess that up. But it is, I mean, I liked it.
I liked it
for the story.
Yeah.
I kept reading it. But, you know, as we're, like, going through, I felt that if this was any other romance novel, it could have been cut down. But I think the fact that it's, like, a romantic, historic novel,
so
you needed all the fill-in.
Have you ever read Pride and Prejudice by...
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like that had a ton of filler. That book. Do you remember it at all?
Not really, no.
Okay. So, yeah. So that book, for anyone who remembers it or has read it or whatever, there is a lot of filler. It's nice. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you just kind of realize, oh, like, this was not conducive to the story going forward.
Well, and for me, like, so I read this when I was in D.C. for my day job,
mm-hmm.
and while I was on the metro going to work. And it's like I had to put post-it notes over the cover because of the cover. But I was like, I don't know. I felt that it looks more scandalous than it is, which I guess is a good indicator of the
writing.
Well, the writing, but the main character too.
Oh, right. Definitely more developed. Yeah, so if you listen to our last episodes, you heard me complain about how basically one-dimensional, I guess, that the characters are.
Yeah.
Like, they're obvious, they're predictable, and then these characters, just like in Pride and Prejudice, where, I don't even remember what the main guy's name Darcy. But Darcy, you don't really like him at first. He seems moody. You're like, yeah. Who is this guy? And then by the end of it, he's actually very romantic and caring and loving. And
kind that's what you'll same see like here. This one.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go through the characters.
Yeah.
So the story kind of opens up with this Lady Milford. And we didn't know this, but apparently this is kind of a series. It's called a Cinderella Sisterhood novel. So Lady Milford owns these red slippers that apparently help you find your true love. And yeah. So she's that character where I guess she like kind of makes this all happen.
Right.
So
yeah, because like in the first paragraph, talking about Lady Milford, it says, and she would have never found the next young lady who deserved to wear the enchanted slippers. And they don't really go into any, Olivia doesn't really go into any explanation other than it's just kind of brought up every once in a while. That's what ties all these series together. But the story by itself can be a standalone.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be part of a series.
Yeah, and so the main female character, her name's Rory. She's named Aurora, goes by Rory. And her love interest is Lord Lucas Dashiell. And so he's the main male character. And then there's a billion other characters.
Yeah, there's so many characters.
Oh my gosh. We wrote a list. We literally wrote a list because we had to keep track. But I don't know. Do you want to start going through?
Yeah.
How the book opens?
Right. So we open up, like we said, with Lady Milford, and she's a noble lady. So this, just to get an idea of the story and the time, this is mostly dealing with the upper class of the 1800s in London. So mm-hmm. Lady Milford is a noble lady who has these enchanted pair of slippers, and she wants to talk to the main character's stepmother, so Rory's stepmom. Because she has, I'm already overwhelmed. Yeah.
Well, cause they're at this bank.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Lady Milford is going to get like some pearls from her vault or something.
Right.
And while she's there, she sees like the stepmom of the main character, and the stepmom is like fumbling around, like trying to get this tiara because she's being blackmailed.
Yes.
And so that's where the story begins. Know that she's being blackmailed, but we find that out like pretty quickly.
Well, okay, so Lady Milford's actual purpose in the beginning is to get to Rory because that's who she wants to give the slippers to. And the way that Lady Milford, she meddles. She's a nice lady, but she just seems to meddle. Like, she has no business talking to any of these people that she is, but she's trying to get to Rory through the stepmother, and in order to do that, she says that she tells Rory's stepmom that she can help by sending for Rory so that Rory can help fix the situation.
Yeah, who the blackmailer is.
Yeah, and right. And so...
So, Lady Milford then decides to give her slippers to Rory. So she goes out to the country to convince Rory to come back to society. And this is where we learn why Rory was kicked out of London society, 8 years ago.
Right.
Because she was almost about to get fingered. By, like, an Italian, French?
Nobleman. Italian.
Italian nobleman.
Stefano.
Who was married.
Who was married, but she didn't know that.
She didn't know that. He knew that.
Right. So the situation was at some party at Rory's home when she was 18 years old, this Italian nobleman flirts with her, basically woos her, tells her all this stuff like, oh, I love you, after I'm assuming just meeting her, like complimenting her on her beauty, and then takes Rory into Rory's father's study and goes to finger her, and then all of a sudden everyone like
barges
including Rory's father.
Oh man, I'm dying.
We
so
learned
funny.
Later that Rory's dad actually demanded that Stefano, the Italian nobleman, marry her, and then that's when we find out, oh, Stefano's married.
He's already married.
He has a wife back in Italy.
So then Rory is kicked out of society, goes to live in the country, doesn't get told when her dad dies because she's in the country.
Yeah.
She lives with her aunt out there. And then this Lady Milford comes and is like, you know, your stepmom is being blackmailed with these love letters. You know, someone stole these love letters of hers, and it could ruin Rory's stepsister's chances of marrying the Duke.
Whittington, right?
He's so old.
Apparently he's super old. That's all it's talked about, is that this Duke, he's a Duke, and he's old, and he is betrothed to Rory's stepsister, Celeste.
Yeah. And so Rory then decides, number one, to go back to London to make sure her sister doesn't marry the Duke, because turns out she's like this super feminist and believes that, you know, obviously women should have their say and marry for love rather than just marry old men.
Right.
And second reason, was to make sure that these letters get back, because it could ruin Celeste's future, aka her sister's future.
Right. And so, yeah. And so basically, you know, I was thinking about this, and
that was literally the first chapter.
Yeah, guys, it was so much. It was so much detail. But I was thinking about this as far as, I know it's not called arranged marriages, but it essentially is when a young noblewoman is then, like, betrothed to an older nobleman. And honestly, it almost sounds like wishing for love would just be so hard, because it's not just, oh, it's just a good match for your families. Like, the way you're treated is completely different. And I'm just like, man, like, I honestly, if I was in this time, I would probably marry money just so that I'm just treated better by other people.
Yeah.
And that's just my two cents for now.
So Rory decides to go back to London. So the next scene is kind of, we enter on the main male protagonist of the story, Lucas, Lord Lucas, who at the time is like courting a young woman named Alice, because it turns out he's inherited the debts from his father, who just passed away in a carriage accident that left his mom handicapped.
Right.
She can't leave bed. And so he is like trying to court this young rich woman, and he can provide her a title, and she provides the money. And so that's where we open up back in London. And they're discussing the weekly verdict. And in that is what Rory writes under her, like, pen name. And she writes, like, this feminist column. And so they're, like, discussing that. And this is where Rory shows up.
Right. Yeah. Rory shows up. Back to Rory's stepmom being blackmailed. She has a suspicion that it was
Lucas.
It's Lucas.
Doing the blackmailing.
What's his last name? Because he's called Lord something, but Dashiell. He has a different last name. Let's just call him Lucas Dashiell. Whatever.
Okay.
Okay. So Rory's stepmom suspects it's Lucas, because Rory's stepmom had an affair with
Lucas's dad.
Right. And so Rory thinks, okay, she's going to try to get a job working for Lucas's mom, who's bedridden, because they are trying to call for some sort of companion for her. So she shows up, and no one's forgotten what happened 8 years ago. Apparently, literally nothing has happened in the past 8 years.
Yeah.
No one else has flirted with a foreign diplomat. Nothing has happened. And so when Lucas sees Rory in the entryway, he's pissed. He's automatically pissed. Like, what the fuck is this?
Because he actually, like, really liked her.
He did really like her. So, yeah, because it makes it sound like he's pissed, because who is this person that ruined their name?
Yeah.
In my doorway. It's just a stain. You know, whatever. So, yeah, maybe that's still true. Maybe he's, like, maybe he believes that, you know? Oh, because we think that, should I say this now?
Go for it.
Because he thinks, so, okay, yeah, because he's in love with her, which, as story goes on, you don't know that initially, but you do find that out later. He thinks that she had sex with this Stefan.
Yeah, who was the Italian diplomat.
Right, and so,
she was just about to get fingered. I can't even get it out. It's so funny.
So Lucas basically is forced to hire her eventually, because his brother
Yeah, he kind of just, his brother, like, introduces him in front of, or introduces her in front of his fiance. Girl that he's courting. Yeah, basically. And so it turns into this whole thing where he, like, kind of just pities her. And so he gives her this job. And so the first day on the job, Rory is with his mom, who's kind of a bitch. She's actually, like, a huge bitch. I mean, she's bedridden and, like, can't hang out. And she used to be, like, this huge member of society, and now she's not. And so she, what is she? She invites, Rory lets her know that Lucas is courting this girl, this young girl. And right. So she's like, what? And then she has a girl and her mom come visit.
In her bedroom.
And she just like flips out and starts throwing shit at him.
Yeah.
And yeah. So then Lucas has to go to a ball that night to apologize to them. And while they're at the ball, Rory sneaks in to Lucas's room to search for these love letters that, you know, he apparently stole and is, like, blackmailing her stepmom with.
Right.
But she doesn't find anything, but she finds out – this is where she finds out that he's in debt.
Right.
Due to his father.
Yeah. And so where is the point – I forget. What is the point where he walks in? Does she even try to hide?
She doesn't really – she tries to. She can't find a place to hide.
I go under the bed, man.
Yeah, well,
scoot
I guess it, she, like, couldn't fit or something because she, like, looks, and then all of a sudden it's like – and then a silhouette entered the room.
Oh.
And it's Lucas. And so Lucas thinks that she's propositioning herself as a mistress for him. And so he's like, okay, this
now
is great.
He's into it.
Yeah,
now
he's
mad.
Like, yeah.
Hey.
Now I'm mad at all.
Yeah,
and
well,
he's
as
so
long as,
into it.
As long as I'm getting sex out of it, I don't even care about your reputation because
you're my mistress and you don't. Yeah. And so she like keeps just trying to warn him off and she's like, oh, I'm too expensive for you.
Because you're
and
in
he's
debt.
Like, oh, I think we can work something out. And then she's like, actually, I'm here looking for these letters.
Yeah. Has that ever happened to you before where you've tried to be sly and the guy like plays along and you're just like, ah! Just
you're like, actually, no.
Okay.
Yes.
Abort.
I gotta stop laughing. Okay, so Lucas then agrees that at this point they're gonna team up to find who's blackmailing her stepmom, and, like, I guess technically, like, him, because it's between his dad and her stepmom.
Right.
Yeah.
How did he react to that, did it say?
Not really. He was just, like, he just kind of took it upon himself, like, oh, okay, well, now this is a problem that I have to solve.
Well, yeah, I guess because it did.
And it did really, like, diffuse the situation about, like, him being, oh, like, by, let's bone.
Yeah, by the way, remember when I almost proposed to my mistress? Anyway, let's just keep hanging out and solve this mystery together.
Yeah, and so then they decide, okay, so they're teaming up, and he thinks that the best way to find who's blackmailing them is to go around to pawn shops and look for the tiara. Because the person couldn't go to a normal jewelry store to sell this tiara. So when they go to these, she, like, refuses to not go. So she goes with him, and she pretends to be then the mistress to him as they're going around to these pawn shops. So that gets awkward. A lot of sexual tension. Nothing happens. They don't find the tiara. And it's just, like, basically a lot of sexual tension.
Yeah, and in this book, Olivia, the author, surely did it well, I feel like. Just, like, that, like you said,
it was a story.
Yeah, building up, you know, classic, I hated you at first, but now we're in love, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to, what's the winery?
Oh, Alexander Valley Winery. You gotta keep mentioning it. Do you need a refill yet?
No, I don't, but I'll take a look.
Cinzin, it's a really cool bottle.
Yeah, this Red Zinfandel.
Yeah.
I never drink Red Zinfandel. I don't know why. Normally it's
Cab. My favorite.
Really?
I know. I liked Cab a lot. And then OZV, it's my favorite. I'll talk about it all day. OZV wine. They make this Zinfandel that's just insane. And so it's my favorite.
Well, we should just do a favorites episode and
we can drink that and yeah, try to get them as a sponsor because I would die to drink that all day.
Let's do that and let's read Twilight. Let's review Twilight.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay, but anyway, getting back to the story. Okay. Scandalous flirt.
The scandalous flirt. So, at this point, Lucas's mom, who, like I said, was bedridden because of the chariot, but not the carriage accident she was in.
Chariot.
Different time.
Yeah.
She decides to re-enter society, but does it really go into, like, what?
She wants to re-enter society, and so she decides to go to this ball.
Yeah, but, like, she broke her back. Like, that's not something you just, like,
well, it's kind of like, from. I mean, I think she was just paralyzed.
Well, oh, yeah, because her son's carrying her.
Yeah, her son's carried her around. And then they got that, you know, like a wheelchair.
Right. No, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, so Lucas's mom wants Rory as her companion to come with her to this ball. More or less, she doesn't say directly, but basically as a spectacle.
Yeah, she's, like, trying to get people to, like, pay attention to her. Even though she's, like, re-entering society and everything, she, like, wants more people to talk about her. And so she decides to bring Rory because it will cause, you know, gossip that she's, like, hanging around with such, like, a scandalous person.
Because she's paralyzed, so what else has she got to lose, you
That's
know?
True.
Like,
That's true.
Like, what's going to happen?
And so this is where, at this point, Lucas makes... I'm going to start coughing, laughing through this. But this is where he calls her a scandalous flirt. And he's like, you will not be going to anything with a scandalous flirt. And her response was, Rory's response was, I may be a scandalous flirt, my lord, but I am perfectly capable of comporting myself into society. If Lady Dashiell wants my company, then so be it. And then she makes the... whatever, she makes the decision at that point to go to the ball.
I want you to think about this for a second. Think about, so we're about the same age as Rory was.
Yeah.
27, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're both 27.
Yeah.
And so Rory is 26 now, and this was 8 years ago. Something that happened when she's 18 years old. Now, Brianne, I want you to think of, like, the kind of person you were 18, and then that scarred you up until this
And you couldn't point. Have had any, you would have to, like, go away for
you
8 years.
You go away from everyone that you know, your family,
man,
to this aunt that you barely know, but she's a cool person, so that's good. But basically, you go from, like, whatever sort of pay scale that you were at to something quite lower, quite a bit lower. She seemed to have made the most of it, but, like, I'm just thinking of how I was at 18, holy shit. That stuff haunts me in my dreams sometimes. I'm just glad it's not in real life.
Well, can you imagine, like, okay, so she thought that she was in love with that guy at 18, Stefano, who, like, you know, whatever, tried to get his way with her and, you know, didn't happen because her dad walked in. Could you imagine, like, being with the person that you were with when you were 18?
No.
Yeah. Like,
no!
I don't get how these main characters in these books, like her sister who's 19, 18, just entered a site. Like, how does she make these decisions that young?
Well, you don't. Like, remember, it's just like, it's money, man. It's like titles.
Yeah.
And also, I do want to point out, we didn't mention this, and that I suppose this is just part of the culture back then. So they say like, when a young girl, like, I guess becomes around the age of 18, they debut.
Yeah.
And I...
Debutante.
Yeah, they're a debutante and they debut for that season. And I wrote down something I thought was super clever. I was like, it's like prom and tryouts all in one. Like,
oh my gosh.
You're dressed up and, like...
I wear my prom dress to, like, Halloween parties now because it's, like, this big ballroom gown. Like, no.
And you're being judged? Like, and what if you make a mistake? Like, you're making your debut as a woman in high-class society. What if you trip?
What if I had the eyebrows I had when I was 18? My eyebrow game was, like, the fucking worst at 18. Like, okay, so moving past my eyebrows and how awful they were when I was 18.
Yeah, okay, where were we?
So we're at the ball.
Okay, yeah.
So she borrows one of her sister's dresses. And she, like, this is basically Cinderella. Like, she's wearing these slippers that you know, this lady gave her.
Yes.
That make her find her true love, which we now know is probably Lucas, Lord Lucas. And so Lucas and Lucas's mom and her, like, all kind of go to the ball together. Mm-hmm. And she dances with Lucas, and it's, like, beautiful. And then guess who shows up to the ball?
Stefano!
He makes his appearance again. And he, like, convinces her to come outside to talk to her. And then, like, force kisses her.
Yeah. It's never a fan. Doesn't it say, it says something like, and they always, anytime in these books when it says this, like, a guy tries force kiss her, like, his tongue, like, plunged. And
yeah.
Like,
ah! Yeah. Gross.
No. And just, yeah, essentially it sounds like saying, it's equivalent to what he said the first time to her. He's so in love, like, she's so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Words, words, words. It doesn't matter. It's just words.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Lucas sees this kiss happen and basically, like, runs and tackles Stefano and is like, you get out of here. And then he confesses to her that he, like, likes her.
Yeah.
And they kiss and have this beautiful moment.
Yep.
And then he tries to send her home. But she's like, well, why aren't you going home? And he's like, oh, I'm going to this, like, after party where all the men hang out with their loose women. And so cool. She's like, well, why can't I go? And he's like, because there's going to be loose women there. And I'm trying to do some investigating. And so he's like, you're not coming, and kind of sends her home. And then he goes to this party to, like, look for these letters in this one man's house. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically like this huge orgy happening. And she shows up too, pretending to be the miss, like, just a mistress.
Right.
And that's when they, like, he kind of saves her from being harassed by a guy and is like, no, that's my girl.
Yeah.
And then
he has to say, oh, essentially say, no, this is my whore.
Yeah.
Like, this is my sex worker.
Yeah. Sex worker. Yeah. And so, yeah, and then, like, a bunch of other men were coming around as they were looking in this, like, office area. And so while these men were, like, opening the doors, he made this quick decision, like, Lucas made this quick decision and just, like, makes out with her again so that they don't see her face.
Right.
Oh, man.
Tricky,
oh, and this
tricky,
is, like, my favorite quote is in here about the – sorry, it's just so funny. Oh, man. He glimpsed her shapely ankles.
Hey.
Those shapely ankles.
Those shapely ankles.
No guy has ever commented on my ankles.
No kangles there. Yeah. No, I don't think. But who looks at
I don't know who looks at kangles. I mean, ankles. I don't have any great ankles. Mine are so skinny and gross. Like,
oh.
I have super skinny ankles.
Let's see it.
Super skinny. They're just, like, very.
Mine can, like, depending on how hydrated I am, they can change. Right now, I need to be a little more hydrated. They're a little pudgy right now. I need to drink more water.
You need to make those more shapely.
Yeah, I need to work on my ankles.
Oh, man. Talking about these books and drinking is not the best for flu recovery, but it's worth
it. Well, it's allergies, right?
Yeah, sure. Abby's been feeding me these Quick Blast, soothing your sore throat and sinus in one bite, and it's like this all-natural shit from Whole Foods. And it, like, works. It makes me numb, but it's so gross. It's so disgusting.
So nasty.
No, but shout out to Whole Foods.
You can have them. I don't want
and Amazon, who bought Whole Foods.
Oh,
be
yeah.
Be our sponsor.
Well, oh, my God, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oh my gosh, having little drones like drop off a bottle of wine.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what we
need.
Yeah, Amazon, give us a drone with wine.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, so they're at this whorehouse party or whatever. And this is where they find out that Stefano is with one of Rory's stepmom's friends.
Yeah.
And so at this point, those are the number two suspects. For who stole the letters? Stefano and his mistress, who is Rory's stepmom's friend.
Right.
Yeah. She has a name. I forgot it.
of, sorry, the name of, no, I honestly, there are points I skimmed very lightly over this because there's just so much going on.
Yeah, so parts, much going on. Like, this is a 300 and, like, 40-page book.
Right, and there are so many characters. I mean, I kept forgetting about the blackmail, honestly. Yeah. I kept forgetting what the plot was. Right, and I just kept, focusing on Rory's just, like, stain.
Well, because we haven't, I mean, at what page are we?
Oh, I don't know.
We're like in the 240s, and so we're 2/3 of the way in, and there's still been no sex scene.
Yeah.
What did we pick out?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Oh, man. But we're coming to it.
Okay, yeah. As much as I'm disgusted by just how some guys just describe, I don't know. Like, I keep thinking about that one line from the last book where he's like, when I powered through
her, yeah. I'm like, ugh. But this one was, like, classier.
Yeah, it's classy.
And, yeah. And gentleman. So we didn't have any of that. It was, yeah. Which we'll get to. But, okay, moving on. So they think that Stefano and his lover are the ones that stole the letters.
Mm-hmm.
So they create this ploy where Rory asks Stefano to meet her to, like, re-discuss their romance stuff. And at that point, Lucas is going to search through his place. And so, Lucas is searching, and guess what he finds?
The letters.
Yes, and...
I forget.
The tiara.
The tiara!
Yeah, so they find the tiara. I'm dying. Yeah.
Rory's stepmom's tiara.
Yeah, Rory's stepmom. So they're the blackmailers. So Stefano and this lady are the blackmailers. Great. And so they go back to the mom's house to say, we found the blackmailers. And then what happens?
I don't remember.
They find out her sister.
Oh, yeah.
They find out Rory's sister.
So Rory's half-sister. So Rory's sister, who is supposed to be the daughter of Rory's father and stepmother, is actually her stepsister because they're not blood related at all.
Yeah. And Celeste, so her Rory's sister Celeste, is sisters then to Lucas and Lucas's brother Harry.
Henry. Up until this point, we thought that Celeste and Henry had a thing going on. So this is a third book that has to deal with almost incest.
We just can't.
Almost incest, which we were talking about this earlier. I don't think that it's a fantasy, but I think that there's something to be said about when you are in love with someone and then the ultimate forbidden love comes up and it's so scandalous and so dramatic, but then it doesn't happen.
Incest.
Because it's the third book. And these books were chosen at random. These authors have nothing to do with each other. These stories have nothing to do with each other. And this is we're shooting in the dark three times we've got incest.
Well, yeah. And then it gets even worse because, so we think that they're just having a thing where they're flirting. Well, it turns out Celeste has actually ran away to be with her one true love that is not the Duke.
Not the Duke, the old 40-year-old man. and then we eventually find out it's not Henry, Lucas's brother. And then technically Celeste's half-brother. It's Perry, who's just a friend of the family.
Yeah, just a friend. Well, and so while they're out looking for her sister to bring her back and to tell her, hey, the man you ran off with is your brother, they end up, they have to stay in this hotel room because it's too dark to keep searching, and they have to pretend to be married, and that's finally where we get our sex scene.
Yay! It's three pages.
Yes, it's great. It is so well written.
Yeah.
There's some great quotes. Let me just read you some of my favorites. He goes... not yet, as he catches hold of her wrist, or will be done too swiftly. And she goes, isn't it supposed to be swift? He cocked his head and a smile corked one corner of his mouth. Not if you wish to reach the pinnacle of pleasure.
And so, name your, what's your other favorite quote? And I can go into it.
Then he says, I want you to know I love you. So he tells her, loves her. And then she's like, oh my gosh, I love you too. And so then he finally penetrates and he goes, my God, you were a virgin. I thought, ... And then she goes, what everyone thought. But you see, I never quite had the full enjoyment of being ruined until now. And I do enjoy it very much.
Rory, I've dreamed of this for so long. Okay, that was some
beautiful
dialogue.
Beautiful.
Oh, damn it, what was I about to say? Oh, yeah, so she's essentially having the time of her life, and she's a virgin, which that's... No girl's first time is, like, so great. I literally pushed the guy off of me because I'm like, no. I can't. It's just,
Well, this was beautiful. Yeah. Like, Olivia did a great job writing it. I thought so. Maybe it was just, like, I had waited 300 pages for this.
Yeah, we're on page 320.
Yeah, and it finally happens. And then there's only 20 more pages in the rest of the book.
Yep.
We're, like, almost done.
Hey, yeah, wrapping this shit up. All right, so...
Oh, so then they go down... Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
So then they go down to breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they find out that Celeste didn't run away with Henry.
Henry, yeah.
Ran away with Perry. Great, Perry just didn't really talk about him as much throughout the book, but whatever.
Yeah, but think of it. Yeah, he was mentioned once at the beginning, maybe a second time. But anyway, so in this... In this culture, in this group of people, if Perry hadn't been in the picture at all, Henry, who is a bachelor of age, like he is around her age, like he could have happened.
Yeah.
100%. Half.
Yeah.
Half siblings.
Yeah. I mean, was incest new then?
Okay. Well, so apparently the royal family did it. I don't know. And maybe this is just adapted for modern times because that wouldn't have been cool. Well, it was cousins. It wasn't siblings.
Okay.
So, and that's the whole thing with the royal family. Maybe not so much now, but, like, there is this whole thing about, like, incest in the European royal families.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah, and there's a bunch of attributes, like, physical attributes that only have to do with the royal family. That's called something about the jaw. Anyway. Yeah, so maybe this was just updated. Like, that would be scandalous for half-siblings.
Yeah, so luckily, it wasn't incest. Third time we...
Thanks, Barry.
Third time we missed the incest.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, Perry decides to wait a year and a half before proposing so it doesn't ruin Rory's sister. Rory goes back and is like, okay, I guess I got to go back to the country now.
Mm-hmm.
But then Lucas shows up.
Damn it.
He proposes.
Yay!
So they're together. And so he's like, I have to sell property and I got to do all this so that we can, like, actually afford things. She's like, I don't care as long as we're together. And that's when her aunt fucking jumps in.
Hey!
And she's been rich this whole time.
Holding up, bitch. She's worked.
Yeah. So she's been rich and is like, you can have my money. And, like, that was it. Like, apparently she had invested in, like, diamond mines or emerald mines or something. Must be nice, man. No one showed up at my wedding.
Like, I'm rich and I'll give you money.
I mean, like, you get money. Like,
yeah, right.
Not diamond, emerald shit. So, anyway.
Yay.
So that was it. That was the scandalous flirt. Sorry I coughed my way through it, but it's fine.
No, that was great. That was good. It was
good. It was a lot. It was, and I mean, kind of thank God I got the flu and we couldn't record this when we were supposed to, so we had more time to read it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think I learned my lesson about how great Kindles are, or, like, you know, because then you don't have to read this on the subway with a bunch of people being like, what the fuck is she reading? But whatever, no shame. All right, so for next week, it's Thanksgiving.
Hey guys, oh my gosh.
So we are reading Stuffed, and it's a Thanksgiving novel by Jessica Gazziella?
Olivia Looks Drake like, has been the only name I can pronounce successfully so far.
Yeah. So it's called Stuffed. It's a Thanksgiving novel. I have to be honest, I've already read it. It was so easy
I've not started. So you read the whole entire thing?
Yeah. It was really, well, I mean, I've been off work.
Oh,
sick.
Right.
So I read it. It was super easy. It was good.
Was it what you expected?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm excited because I've not started.
Not at all. I think it'll be, it's like very kind of, I don't want to say it's typical, but it is kind of typical. But it's an easy read.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions?
No, because the cover, because normally we base it off of
the cover.
The cover and the title, but on the cover it's just turkey, right? It's just.
Yeah, it's just like a Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, and it's just stuff. So I can only imagine a penis is going in a vagina. Like, that's my prediction.
Well, something's going to be stuffed.
Okay. Oh, is it the other hole? Sorry.
I don't know why. I thought that was so funny. I'm dying. I need to go to sleep now. Oh, man. Well, it'll be good. You'll like it.
Okay, cool.
I think you'll get through it really easy.
Yeah. All right. Well,
cool. Well, episode 3.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
You can follow us at Reds and Romance on Instagram and Twitter. And you can catch all of our other episodes at redsandromance.com. Yeah. And final shout out to Alexander Valley Wine.
Yes. Vintage. 2012, Zinfandel, Sinzin.
And a good year. A good year.
Yeah, it's a good year. Eventually, we're trying to just basically have a bunch of episodes to put onto iTunes. Eventually. Right now, it's just the website. But, you know, I love to binge podcasts. Yeah. So we're trying to give that to people eventually when it comes to iTunes. So.
Yeah, but if you have any comments or feedback for us, please reach out to us on our website or any of our social media accounts.
Yeah.
Love to hear from you.
All right.
Reds and Romance.
Reds and Romance.